but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest knows football. Played in the NFL for 6 seasons. He was nicknamed the Throwin' Samoan while at Washington State. First-round pick, number 3 overall in 1979. Jack Thompson, the Throwin' Samoan of Washington State, joining us now on the hotline. I got to ask you, Cam Ward goes number 1 overall. How you doing, Jack? But Cam Ward goes number 1. I was a little surprised given that we got to see Cam at Washington State, and maybe I didn't see it in his season at Washington State, but I was surprised how high he was picked. What do you make of him going so high in the draft?
Well, you know, I always thought he had the tools, his ability to throw off balance, his arm angles high, sideways. It didn't matter. He had the ability to get the ball, you know, get the ball out and get it quick, you know, get it out quickly. Had a strong arm, so I always thought he had the physical tools. But I wish he would have done that, you know, his last year in college with us versus those folks in Miami.
I think too that, you know, he's such a nice kid too, and I remember interviewing him and thinking he's difficult to root against. You've been there going to the NFL, third pick overall in 1979. You get drafted and you go off to the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, what kind of advice would you whisper into the ear of Cam Ward, being that, you know, you went through some of this?
Well, you know, these are different times compared to when I was coming out, but I would just tell him to be, you know, the incubation period for young quarterback is far shorter than it was when I was coming out, and I would just say, you know, be the leader that you are right from the get-go. You know, work hard. And, you know, one thing about Cam is he works hard, and he saw a lot of improvement going into his senior year, or his last year, rather, down in Miami, his passing percentage, and you know, he got better, and I'm just saying, you know, take that confidence right into with the Tennessee Titans. Don't hold back. Don't be shy about it.
I love that. Yeah, good advice. Don't hold back. Don't be shy. You know, it is a different time, but what do you remember in 79? Like, how early did you get a playbook in your hand? How comfortable did you feel, or how weird was it to go off to the NFL as the number 3 overall pick in that draft?
Well, like I said, you know, it was a different time, and we had my first coach at Cincinnati was Homer Rice, and you know, he got the playbook in my hands early, but he was there for 1 year, and then we got my favorite coach of all time, in my professional career, was Forrest Gregg. He was a great coach. My only regret is that I didn't get a chance to play for him more than I did, because I really enjoyed going out there playing for him. He's a player's coach in that he was really tough. He was fair, but you knew where you stood with him, and he was no BS kind of guy, and I just loved playing for him. Kind of like it reminded me of Jim Sweeney, except for without the, you know, Sweeney was out there as far as his personality. He's that Irish man, and he was a fun guy. He taught me how to be a cougar. But Forrest, man, he was just a dude. You know what I mean? John Wayne type.
John Wayne type. I love that. We're talking to Jack Thompson, Washington State great. You're involved with a business networking group that you helped start 15 years ago, CougsFirst.org, for people who want to check it out. You guys have trade shows every year. You have a couple of them, one in Bellevue, one in Spokane. The one in Bellevue just happened on Friday, I think. The president, the new president at Washington State, Elizabeth Cantwell, spoke at the event on Friday. I got to know what you thought of her and what your early impressions are of the new president.
Well, frankly, John, I'm blown away. She is a leader from the get-go. I mean, she is, again, no BS type. I don't know how much you got to know our new head coach, Jimmy Rogers, but it's like those guys are, two peas in a pod in terms of, you know, their leadership style. They're no nonsense. They're very clear-eyed. When you talk to them, they know what they want. And President Cantwell is just that. She knows what she wants. She has said it unapologetically that Washington State University is the quintessential land grant school in the country, and that we have a very important role to play in the transitional Pac-12. And she aims to lead us in that way, and that we're not going to be, holding back. And that old adage of, the underdog mentality, that's gone. That's gone. In fact, if you talk to any of our head coaches, not just Jimmy, but Cammy Etheridge, Dave Riley, Todd Schoenberger, our soccer team coach, there's no underdog in their DNA. And President Cantwell, quote, she says, "I aim to have a very competitive athletic program. We will compete, and more importantly, we will win." I believe her, because I believe we're set up for that. We just need to awaken the beast that is within Washington State University. People don't really understand it, but we are a university of over 245,000 alums, and pretty well-to-do alums. If you were to do a wage-earning metric, they did when we were the old Pac-12, we rated in the top five of the old Pac-12, and now we're at number one. I believe the last thing I saw was we're ranked number one. In that metric, and we just need to get all the Cougs to get wipe away that underdog mentality, woe is me. You got to get over this thing about the NIL, the portal. Everyone is going through it, and you look at Boise State, they don't give a rip, and they only have 110,000 alums, but they're focused on doing what they got to do. Well, we do that, we'll compete against anybody, whether it's the Pac-12 or any other conference. And we just need to wake up. That's all.
Yeah. And I think Oregon State fought through some of this, Jack, too, where like the little engine that could was kind of the mentality.
Exactly.
And there's some charm to that, but that doesn't speak the love language of recruits. Like, you don't want to be like, hey, we do more with less. Come play for us. Kids don't want to hear that.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's not what they want to hear.
John, you're spot on. You're spot on. And you know what? Oregon State is blessed with a great president, too, in President Murphy. You're talking about a leader.
Yeah.
That's President Murphy. She was right out there. And by the way, I will add that she spent a lot of her time in education. I think she's an engineer at Washington State University. I think she got her MBA there. So, I credit her time in Pullman that helped create that, that part in her.
Yeah.
And heck, your head coach, the same way, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he grow up?
Yeah, he's a Pullman kid. He's a Pullman kid.
It's the Pullman thing, man. It's the Pullman thing. And it breeds leadership.
help me with Jimmy Rogers, because we had him on the show. Pretty no-nonsense. He's coming from, you know, a lower division of college football and 12 years at South Dakota State. He's bringing a bunch of kids with him. Did you get a chance in the spring game to kind of get a peek at it? What are your impressions of Jimmy Rogers?
Serious as a heart attack kind of guy. And his players, you know, they completely have bought off on it, right? They are consuming what he's putting out there, and he's created a culture that, frankly, you know, I welcome it. I've said it before that our previous coach, Coach Dickert, was a great fit. Well, Jimmy is a fantastic fit. He's just different, right?
Yeah.
And his mentality seems to resonate with the Cougar, the Cougar Nation, you know, who's tired of, you know, the taking a backseat to, you know, situations where we're not going to do that anymore. You know, we have to rise up and take that leadership position that, frankly, we've earned.
You grew up in, you know, just south of Seattle, graduate from high school, Evergreen High School, and you go to Washington State. You had options, I'm guessing, at that time. What was it that drew you to Pullman?
Well, this show needs to be 2 hours long for me to answer that question, but
right?
I'll give you the you know, the short version. Yeah, I had options. In fact, it came down to Oregon and Washington State, and it came down, and before that, Washington was in the mix, and Oregon State was in were in the mix, both of them. And you know, for me, it was the best fit for me was Washington State. When I took my visit there, and I just walked the campus, you know, there's something about being in Pullman that if you're predisposed to that environment, which I was, even growing up in Seattle, I grew up being a Husky, bottom line. And, you know, the recruitment of me, they assumed that I was going to go there and everything. I would have, but when they said that they wanted to meet my father, you know, do the home visit, and they reneged on it twice. I mean, They canceled them on me, and in canceling on me, they were canceling on my dad. My dad was a big time Husky fan, and that's just, you know, that's the way it ended, and it was the best decision for me to go to Washington State because, you know, I found the place that fit me the best.
Did that, like, fuel some fire for you as you go to Washington State, and then now you're playing against those guys, or did you ever get an explanation on why they treated you that way?
Well, it was the coach at the time. His name was Jim Owens. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was getting recruited, they tagged me as a lay-down, quote, recruit. In other words, don't waste any time, energies, or efforts on this kid because he's coming. And he made the mistake of, you know, calling me and saying, hey, we're going to be, should be at your house at, you know, 6 o'clock. Want to meet your dad, and my dad really wanted to meet him badly, and my dad worked a night shift at Boeing, so I had to wake him up. He took a shower, shaved, and he begged us twice. And you know, but he still thought I was going to go to make the commitment to UW, but that wasn't the case. And I remember I took the trip to UW. In fact, I saved them to be my last trip. Out of respect for my dad, he still wanted me to take the trip. And, you know, as is always the case, you know, recruit, the last person you meet is the head coach in his office. And I went in and was talking to Coach Owens, and he says, well, are you ready to put on the Husky jersey? And I looked at him. It wasn't like I was being really macho and I
right.
pushed him out. I said, you know, in tears in my eyes, I said, you know, I can't come here, Coach. You know, you could have done anything to me, I'd be here. But when you did that to my dad, he said, get the hell out of my office. And I said, okay. So I did.
Wow.
And, but, yeah. That's how it went for me. That was my journey. You know, the following year, Don James came, and the rest was history. And over the years, Don James and my dad became friendly in the events that we were at with each other. And Coach James says, you know, if I was the head coach, he would never have gone. And my dad, he is so loyal to the Cougs. He says, I don't know about that, Coach. Washington State is such a special place for Jack, and I'm glad he went there. And, they joked around with each other.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the new look Pac-12 looks like. And, of course, we're all waiting to see who is the eighth football member and how the conference will unfold. But there's been some talk about, which programs are going to fund at the top of the conference. Boise State is saying they want to go all in. Of course, San Diego State's got some money to spend. I don't know if they'll spend it well, but they've got money to spend. Oregon State is saying they're going to be up there. In talking to the regents around Christmas time, I know this hire of the president was, they said it was going to be somebody who understood athletics. It appears as though they've got somebody in Elizabeth Cantwell who understands athletics. She also is coming from Utah State, so it's like she's in the conference and then she's really in the conference at Washington State. Do you get a sense that the alignment thing has been fixed from the regents to the athletic department, that maybe was out askew or askew with Kirk Schultz?
Well, it's a very touchy subject with me because I'll be very frank with you. I consider Kirk and Noel, his wife, good friends, and the things that they've done for Washington State. I mean, we've never had the fundraising that we've had at Washington State since Kirk came in and took it to new levels. We were averaging like $150 million a year in fundraising, right? And so he was excellent at that. And there were things that he did athletically that, created a loyalty from me to him that he earned it. And it's a long story, but when he first got to Washington State, he was embroiled in a situation where they wanted to kick two Samoan football players off. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
And they did, and Coach Leach asked me to intervene, and it was a bad situation. These kids were getting stonewalled. And it was not a good thing. We had to sue Washington State. Hmm. And fortunately, we won. And Kirk, who had just been on the job 2 months, realized what went down. And I remember I got word. I had not met him really. He said, "What do we have to do to fix this?" I said, "You need to go to You need to go to Samoa and apologize to to the island. To folks on the islands for what happened to these two players." And he says, "Well, I will, but would you go with me?" And I did. And it was an amazing week that I spent with him, and I saw a very good man. What he did and how he represented Washington State University, I could never be more proud of a person and what he did, how he did it. And he built back those bridges that were torched. And I was very proud to be there with him, side by side.
Yeah, it's great. I think, too, that, I viewed him as a president who understood athletics, and maybe until the end, but I don't know, something appears to have gone sideways with the football coach, Jake Dickard, and Schultz, and, there was some issues there. Washington State's outlook, Jack, you are, a guy who's pretty plugged in with the NIL collective and the fan base and the coaching staff and the athletic department.
Yeah.
How are people feeling in general right now as the Pac-12, is trying to figure out this eighth school and then a media deal moving forward?
Well, I think there's still, believe it or not, there are still Cougs that are shell-shocked with this whole, NIL portal and the whole bit. I'm shell-shocked. I hate it. Okay, but I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. I want to I want to succeed while we're, you know, going to the next level, because you, of all people, know that realignment isn't over. It's not finished. Well, you know, the next 5 years are going to be just really tough on all of college football, and we just need to succeed. We need to survive, but succeed while we are surviving. And I think that that's President Cantwell's, you know, focus. And we need to get our fundraising for the CAF, the Career Athletic Fund, and our Career Collective. And we're working on that. We want to be the best collective out there. Thank you for sharing about the Cougs First. That's the business network that we started 15 years ago. It's the best business network around. When you have other schools calling, and what are you guys doing? I mean, we got a call from the Texas University of Texas Alumni Association. What is this all about? Mm. And it's quite an organization. And the Cougs are predisposed to that, you know, getting together, having fun, and in this case, you know, supporting each other on the business front. But we need to get all that together and get it focused and you know, put a great product on the field this coming year. You know, it's kind of a two-pronged effort. Eastern Washington, we have 57,000 Cougs. We need to turn out in mass for the football program. We have the numbers there, and we can get people on the from the west side of the state. That's icing on the cake. But to be sustainable and to have it long-lasting, we need to get the Cougs from Spokane, Tri-Cities to show up in mass. And then, you know, the fundraising, you know, on the west side, the Puget Sound area, very well-to-do Cougs there, you know. And that's, it's kind of like a two-pronged effort, but it's there to be had. You know, if it wasn't for Portland, Oregon State wouldn't exist, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need that city, yep.
And that's what Spokane, to me, that's what Spokane represents to Pullman. Spokane has to be to Pullman what Portland is to Oregon State and Oregon. And it's there. The numbers are there. We just need to educate the Cougs to that. And, you know, I think we can get it back to those days of Leach and Price where people hated to go to Pullman to play the Cougs.
Jack Thompson, you're the best. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you, John.
All right,
always
there he goes.
Good to talk to my friend.
There he goes.
Take care.
All right.
Go Cougs.
Take care. There he goes, the throw-in Samoan. Love that talk with Jack Thompson. Washington State's got to spend. The collective's got to step up. The fans have to step up. But the university itself, with Elizabeth Cantwell now as the president, needs the alignment with the Regents that maybe hasn't been there in recent years. As I reported right around Christmas Day, I believe it was Christmas Eve, I wrote this column about Jake Dickert, you know, bringing Kirk Schultz into the football offices, and he walked him around and he introduced him to all the assistant coaches and the staff and was basically like, hey, you're affecting these people's lives if you don't fund the football program. We come to find out the Regents had directed the president to give $2 million to the athletic director to help pay for coaches and retention and all the stuff that Jake Dickert was trying to do. Dickert didn't know it, nor did Ann McCoy, the athletic director. Kirk Schultz, the outgoing president, for whatever reason, and I think it was because he felt shown up by Jake Dickert, for whatever reason, he just kept that little bit of information to himself long enough for Wake Forest to come in and take Dickert. It's a little bit of Game of Thrones, a little bit palace intrigue going on there. No dragons, but some definite gamesmanship. New president on the scene now in Elizabeth Cantwell. And there's some hope in Pullman that the alignment will not be a problem. I want you to leave it here.